It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
4 o'clock hour, you heard it. ESPN Reno's in, ESPN Las Vegas. Danny is in from the morning show. He's the company today, and Griffin is running the show. It's Cofield. This hour is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyer, 766-1400. The call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number offices in Reno. You got dial 775 up north, but also downtown Vegas, Vegas, and in Henderson. A bunch coming up on the Lakers and where they are right now. A lot of people think this is just extremely chaotic, disappointing, and a sign of times to come for the Lakers. Others are like, they made a run at Dan Hurley. Move on. There's other good candidates. So we'll begin to settle that one, or maybe we won't, but we'll get to that in about 11 minutes. Let's do the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
So we'll continue on what we ended the 3 o'clock hour with, and that is all the buzz over Caitlin Clark not being on the Olympic team, which, think about this right now. The snubbing of Caitlin Clark may be a hotter topic than, well, it certainly is. Have you heard much debate? Like, when did we start breaking down finals MVP Jason Tatum not making the men's Olympic team? And Stephen A. saying that a lot of people around the league think that he's stuck up and they don't like him. Not Stephen A. He's talking about Jason Tatum. That's a pretty big story. But it doesn't have all the elements that Caitlin Clark does, right?
Right.
There's built-in controversy going back a couple of years to college basketball. And we were addressing before we took a break, what's the goal of the U.S. Olympic women's team? Is it, one, is it all about winning? Or does a large part of it have to be about building the game in the United States and internationally? It's pretty big internationally. Not big enough to have most of the teams really compete with the U.S. So clearly it could use more help and exposure and get more women, younger women, playing the game so that now we're starting to see a men's field where the men, like, if they don't play good games, they ain't winning it. They had a run years back where, 2004, 5, and 6, where they pulled an El Flopo, world level and in the Olympics. So what is the team supposed to be about? Colin Cowherd talked about this the other day, and this is some good writing. His delivery is great. His thoughts are great. Colin was really good on this.
The WNBA Finals had 700,000 viewers. The draft that included Caitlin Clark had three times as many. I would make the argument, like a Tiger Woods or a Conor McGregor in their prime, she'll make other people money beyond herself. Rising tide lifts all boats. Instead of getting 7 million viewers, you'll get 14 to 18 with Caitlin Clark, maybe more.
How important is that?
It's
how important is that? And if the end of the bench included a Caitlin Clark and, say, a Cam Brink or an Angel Reese, would they really be putting themselves at risk of losing out on getting the gold?
No, absolutely not. I don't think so at all. So why not put them on? You want viewers. That's what this whole thing is about. That's why. Take last week, for example. In D.C., the Mystics, they normally play in a 4,000 or 5,000 seat stadium.
This was crazy.
They moved the game against Chicago Sky to Capital One Arena. They sold out at 10,000. That arena holds 20,500. They blocked off the entire upper deck. The very next day, Caitlin Clark comes into town. They sold out 20,523 seats. It holds 2,533.
And folks, these games are crazy. I mean, I'll just go off of the Aces games that I've been to this year. The Clark game was pretty crazy here. Crowds are so loud.
Yeah.
They're so fired up. And that's another arena. Attendance is up everywhere where Caitlin Clark has played. I think what this is all about is, yes, they're delivering on their stated goal. Mostly, which is we want to win the gold. But their second goal to me is making sure that the people they feel deserve gold medals get gold medals. And that's why Griner and Taurasi are on the team, so they can win another gold medal. And then Christine Brennan had the story over the weekend. She said two longtime U.S. basketball veterans said there was a concern over how Clark's millions of fans would react to what would likely be limited playing time, and if that would turn into a distraction. So I guess that's more important than growing the game. Or I'll tell you what, if I was a TV executive, I would be screaming bloody murder. Like, what are you doing? Do you know who foots the bill for this thing? This is all kind of symbiotic here. We're all supposed to work together. And let's maybe this is Isaiah Thomas all over again, where Jordan's like, payback time. I don't like Isaiah Thomas, so he ain't on the team. And guess who's already done this in the WNBA? I don't like Skylar Diggins, so guess who ain't going to be with the Mercury anymore? Dina Taurasi pulled that one. Maybe Taurasi and others are like, we don't like what's happening here. We're not getting our due, so she ain't part of it. Because I said so. By the way, I don't think she'd hit herself in the chest.
If you get that intimidated about a rookie,
yeah,
that you got to look inward on that one. I mean, you've been in the league for, what, 20 years, 19 years, something like that, for Taurasi, and the others have been in for 5-plus years. Like, why is a rookie coming in who might be number 11 or 12 on the team and fans are like, hey, put her in. You guys might be up by 40. Let's see what she can do. And you're sitting there, well, we don't want her in just because fans want her in. You have to prove it.
Right. I mean, this would be like, I don't know, like a radio host looking at the support craft or crew and going, you know what? I never want them to develop as host. No! Don't crack the mic. Right? It'd be like a certain show saying, you know what? Young broadcasters, gotta earn your due, but not here. Not on my show. Give me more, Colin.
The women's basketball team does not lose in the Olympics. I think they've won 7 straight golds. You probably didn't know that because you didn't watch. And you would. Life, whether it's a relationship, business, sports, life gives you so few big waves. When they do, grab your surfboard.
Oh, God, that was so good. I wish I could do that. Waves and a surfboard and women's basketball and life opportunities. That was awesome. That was awesome. By the way, I wasn't talking about Colin or any specific host when I made the radio comparison. Number 3.
Number 3.
Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that at all. I want to ask you guys a question about, again, this is on building different sports, because I've seen this happen in a lot of places, like USC. Did you see the exchange the other day between Kalia Copper, player on the Mercury, and some dude who was on their stream? They do have a video stream, so you can ask questions after games, WNBA games. Fire this for me.
What do you have to do next in the next few games to help you guys most likely get to the next level?
What does the bench have to do?
Yes.
What did you?
I was saying that the bench didn't give a lot of production today in this game here. What do they got to do to help you all out as what they did in the previous game?
What they got
to
do? What they do last game? That's a real question. You for real?
No, what I'm asking is just really trying to get an idea of what they need to do.
So what the bench do the last game?
They have to play well.
So what they do this game?
Today they didn't do well this game.
Okay, so what they got to do? Score, right?
Yep.
I bet. That's it, right?
Yep. Okay, so then Copper gets up, storms out. One, if I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the frick? Just because his question wasn't great, like, I'm sitting here, I got more stuff. I'm not objective on this. I will explain, though, just like back in the days of the UFC, right, when they were growing, you'd have, I'm not going to be mean to this guy. He was having a tough time getting the question out, right? But you would have jabronis at UFC events. And Dana White dealt with it, and the fighters dealt with it, because you're building a sport. Is the WNBA there enough to just say, you know what? No more morons get press credentials. We don't want them around. We don't have the patience to deal with it as we grow our game. Seriously, this is a real question, because I saw Jemele Hill was like, great job. That question was terrible. I'm like, I guess. And the guy was trying. I don't know. Like, what's the right answer here?
No, I mean, all they've asked for is eyes. They want viewers. And yes, this guy probably didn't word it the best that he could have, Maybe it was nerves, whatever. Who knows?
He struggled. And
yeah.
And we'll point out, in the media, sometimes we ask questions where we're looking for an answer. He just did not explain it well.
Right. And it's kind of up to Kalia to give a good enough answer.
But is it?
Yes.
Is it? Is that her job now? They've arrived. They're getting viewers. Is it time for PR WNBA teams to go, sorry, Rook. You know what? How about that? You can come to the games. I can't let you ask a question. Sorry, you're not ready yet. Complicated issue, right? Because I think most people watch that are like, idiot, stupid question. Like, trust me, there's a lot of sports that have people in there who are developing
right.
as media people.
And I don't think it was a stupid question. I think it was just, he seemed almost nervous, couldn't figure out the words. Yeah. He asked the question without phrasing it correctly. And she needs, as a professional athlete who is at a press conference, she needs to be able to, for lack of a better word, decipher what he's trying to ask and give a legitimate answer and not storm off like that.
I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. The storming off point, I think, is silly because there are other people there who may want to ask a question. So, very deep issue. But I know how most people are going to react because there's sort of an anti-media thing. Sometimes people can't get the questions out. Number two.
Number two.
UNLV basketball, along with UNLV football, getting their June work in, right? Camp will open up in late July officially for UNLV football as they have an opener on August 31st. Basketball's got their summer workouts. We talked to Kevin Kruger yesterday. You can go up to my handle up on Twitter at Steve Cofield. You can hear the whole interview. It was about 19 minutes. We got to a lot of stuff and still didn't get to everything. They're going to release the non-con schedule soon. Remember, 20 games in conference, which is, I think, not great because it cuts out two games that you could have played aggressively in non-conference play. It looks like they're going to be in a tournament. At least someone who follows Butler is saying that UNLV may be in a tournament in Arizona. They were in one last year. That was where they got to play St. Mary's and were this close to getting a massive win, but just didn't play well early. Very physical game, and then didn't execute defensively in the final seconds. Butler, UNLV, Mississippi State, and a Big Ten team. Interested?
Could be.
Chance for a couple of quality wins if they.
Yeah, absolutely.
They got Big East, which is another mid-major conference in Butler, and then Mississippi State. SEC and then a Big Ten team.
Do we know who is in the running for that Big Ten spot?
It's a Big Ten, man.
Yeah.
It's one of the best basketball conferences in the country. What does it matter?
It's just curious. I think it'll be good for them.
Be cool if it was a West Coast team. Be cool if it was a USC or UCLA. Oregon, Washington.
I still got to get used to that.
It's going to take a while.
Oh, yeah.
I still have trouble with Missouri. I don't know what conference they're in. SEC? They're always Big 12 to me.
I think they're SEC now.
They are SEC. They are.
They are too.
So that's one of the notes that's out there, and it's supposed to be a very aggressive non-conference schedule. They played pretty aggressively last year, and hopefully, again, listen, almost every team in the country has like half the team turned over, so you got to be ready to go early. And that excuse out there, like, hey, we were coming together, like, yeah, everyone's coming together for the most part. UNLV did have a really good level of retention, though. They bring back a bunch of vets. They have two freshmen, a JUCO, and then they've got four experienced players coming in. But like the work they're doing right now is more important in June than it's ever been in the history of college basketball. You got to be ready to go at tip of the regular season.
You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Reno's in. Hour presented by our friends over at Circa Las Vegas. We say hi to Legends Bay up in Sparks. You know, I'm seeing a lot of signs around town for UFC 303 at the end of the month with Conor McGregor. The best spot to watch is that stadium swim, but you're going to want to book it now because that is it's going to be crazy there, and especially if you want to go next level with a cabana or make sure you have something, some sort of seating, go to their website, CircleLasVegas.com. It's a good card, and that's going to be a hyped event. McGregor and Chandler at Stadium Swim. They'll have it inside, but outside under the lights when it gets a little bit dark and you're looking at you know, 9:45 at night. The hype, the build is going to be awesome. Stadium Swim is one of the great spots in town, the spot to watch UFC 303. More about that Olympic team mission and Caitlin Clark and jealousy and who rules that team and what the goal is and what TV wants. That'll be in the 5 o'clock hour. We got Raiders talk coming up, minicamp going on, Paul Gutierrez in about 40 minutes. Danny's in from the morning show. Boy, Lakers fans are pissed. I think Lakers media might be even more angry. What just happened? JJ, we were told JJ Redick's going to be the coach. Not told. It was suggested. He was the guy in the news cycle for at least 2 weeks. Was that really the case? Did they hit a negotiating stumbling block? Did they just throw it out there, kind of put your finger in the wind, get some reaction? Because then Dan Hurley emerges. I've read stories. Hey, Hurley was on the list from the beginning. Was he? Hurley emerges like 5 days ago, visits L.A., we're told Monday, decision. He decides to go back to UConn. It looks like he's forged a deal that's worth about $50 million there. He was offered 6 years and $70 million. What just happened? What just happened? Is Dan Hurley a puss? Is the job not a good job? As many people have suggested, are the Lakers cheap asses and they just insulted Dan Hurley? What just happened? What's your view on this?
I was very shocked when we saw the numbers. Like you said, it was six years, $70 million. I think it came out to $11.5 million or something like that a year. Mm-hmm. Is that enough to leave a school that you've won back-to-back championships with? You are comfortable with not only the school, your job, the area, your family's there, all that stuff. Move, what was that, 3,000 plus miles across country?
Sure. Yeah.
To LA, sure, they have beautiful weather, all that. It's
what would you do? What's the better job? And do you have to get more than $20 million? You have to go beyond $20 million in terms of a raise over the course of a contract to woo a guy from college basketball to the NBA?
I'm curious if him saying no had anything to do with the state of the Lakers, because LeBron's not going to be there for more than a year or two, if even that, because, I mean, I believe it was Rich Paul who leaked that he was a free agent, even though he's not really a free agent. He's got a player option. Technically, he's still tied to the team. But who knows after that? And going forward, you might have to rebuild the whole roster. So would you rather do that, or would you rather stay where you are, get a little bit more money from the job you're already in, and you're already used to everything? You've got your team together for the next year instead of...
So you're giving me all the... Some of the positives and negatives on both sides. What would you do? What would Danny do?
Personally,
you got a great job, but you get the Lakers are as big a job in pro sports as there is.
Personally, me, I would stay in Connecticut.
Why? Stores Connecticut.
Yeah, as I just mentioned, you could possibly, you're going to LA and you might have LeBron or you might not. You could sign on and then LeBron opts out. You got Anthony Davis and you have to build the team around him. Could potentially have to completely rebuild the team come this
deal.
Time next year.
6 year deal.
When was the last?
Hey, LeBron's important, but we're signing you for 6 years because you're going to be in charge of the retooling, not even a rebuild. It's yours, Danny. We trust you.
One of those things that
really,
have
Danny,
been.
Danny Hurley, not Danny Smythe.
One of those things that have been spoken about the last 24, 48 hours is the head coaching length at the Lakers. They haven't had a coach since Phil Jackson go longer than 3 years.
That can be dissuading.
Whereas Hurley now, with the success he's had in Connecticut, he leaves when he wants.
He's got a job for life.
Yes. So set for life or back on the market in 3 years?
Tough call. We still need to know things like, is LeBron 100% committed? Is he in? Does LeBron want me? Is he open to Dan Hurley? Because I don't want to deal with that crap. If he doesn't want me here, he's not open to it. But the biggest issue, and I think the Lakers will recover, and I think they'll, I hope, I think they'll wind up getting J.J. Redick, and I think J.J. Redick, with good experience assistance, is going to be a good coach. I actually think I'd rather hire, and I've said this, I think Friday, I'd rather hire J.J. Redick as an NBA guy than Danny Hurley. I think Danny Hurley at times is a child. He's immature. He's fighting with the crowd. Listen, his family, his dad's a legendary high school coach. His dad's really tough. His dad's, he's retired now, but he's like a 30-year parole officer. Like, any coaches like that? And he's old school. Does that work in the NBA?
No.
Like, people are like, oh, he'll just change. Like, I don't think you know Dan Hurley and Bobby Hurley. They have not changed. They may soften a little bit, but they're not going to change. So I think Redick is the better choice. It's also why I'm not like, this is so embarrassing for the Lakers. But that all said, God, there's so many things I say that just, they're so right. They're so right. Don't laugh. They are. I told you years ago, and I've done this many times, when you're a sports fan, you're not guaranteed when an organization stays in the family that the kids are like the dad. And most often it's been a dad owner. Now, in the case of the Lakers, it's gone from Dr. Jerry to the combo of Jeannie and Jimmy. And not to be mean to Jimmy, and I mean this in the nicest way, but he's a buffoon. He's not a guy who's like, I believe most of what I saw in the depiction. And now I'm almost going to get him confused here because there was a Hulu and then Winning Time. Like, the bus boys, they enjoyed life. Jeannie's kind of nose to the grindstone, but there are some weaknesses in Jeannie's leadership. One is, I actually do think they try to kind of hold the line on money. And I mean, if it came down to money, then yeah, I'm offering you offer them a deal to make them like the fifth highest paid coach in the NBA. Detroit's paying their guy more. Detroit.
And we saw how well that worked.
I mean, I think it's going to work eventually. They've had bad luck with health. But, like, that's not a good look. But my whole point on when the kids get the team, right? Like, I'm sorry. There were negatives with Dirk Steinbrenner. When he calmed down a little bit, they finally won because he stopped trading away players willy-nilly. They won. And he had an unquenchable thirst to win. Steinbrenner now, the kid, is more worried about the money. Mm-hmm. Yankees don't do everything. The Dodgers do everything they can to win. Yankees don't. So you got Steinbrenners to Steinbrenner, bus to bus. And there's situations all over the place. You're going to see it. I don't know. What's going to happen Jones to Jones? Is Stevie Jones going to be better than Jerry? I don't think so. I think they're going to do. I mean, Jerry does it now. His son has learned. Well, let's fight with the players. Let's worry about money. And you have the biggest brand in football. CeeDee Lamb, we're going to wait. Why? But the whole point is, and I don't want to go too hardcore into this, but I do believe that there are certain kids. Listen, if you didn't have to work to get what you're getting, is there really a grasp of reality? Like, how special it is to own a team? And also that it's not a leisure activity for everyone. But the goal is to win. And when you're worried about budget, when ultimately what's going to happen to your team that you got handed? It's already free money. From here, the money's just going to ascend. Like, the NBA ain't folding. NFL ain't folding. Major League Baseball not folding. Like, you've got something that's going to keep accruing value. Have fun. So right now, we're back in that zone where the Lakers just kind of look confused. And I, Rob Pelinka, very handsome man, very jealous. Looks like Rob Lowe. He doesn't age either. But I swear, like, someone, I think there was a picture of Rob Pelinka on the phone, like a stock photo on one of the websites. And if I'm a Laker fan, I'm like, what is he saying? How is he blowing the deal? So I think the Lakers will come out of this fine, but it is a bad look. It is.
Yeah.
Kentucky offered Danny. Come on. Kentucky offered Danny Hurley about the same money as the Lakers.
And now if you're J.J. Redick and you become their quote-unquote backup plan after having had your name tossed in as the number one, you got to be asking for more money than they just offered Dan Hurley.
Do you?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Don't you think they just backed him down? Like, whoa, that was our first choice. You're not him.
If he – see, we don't know behind the scenes.
Set up a bad scenario. You're right. Like, hey, you know, we'll give you 4 years, $32 million, $8 million a year. Come on, man. First-time coach. He got experience. 4-32. Reddick's like, well, I can make a few million and wait until the market gets even more – you know, salivating over me, and I can pass on you too. Then that's when all hell breaks loose if J.J. Redick says no.
You're listening to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Finley Kia text line 364-1100, 364-1100. You can reach us at any time. Comment on anything on the show. Like today, Caitlin Clark and the Olympic team, the snub, 364-1100. You can text that in. Any comment there? Most depressing news of the day, Joey Chestnut out right now, contract squabble with Major League Eating. Yes, there is a Major League Eating. They put together this whole circuit. Or what we were just talking about with the Lakers. Whiffing on Dan Hurley. 364-1100. These are good texts here. Someone said, Lakers brand means nothing anymore. Dr. Buss would be extremely disappointed. Okay. Another person, I guess this one. Well, there's actually a couple along these lines. Someone says, 364-1100 on the text line. Lakers got played. Hurley and Woj teamed up to get Hurley paid by UConn. Everyone was fooled. Okay. And then another one, I guess buying this. Man, I hope UConn loses every game next season. Dude wasted everyone's time for some leverage and attention. I like that one, and I agree. I hope UConn loses every game next season, but that's every year for me. Was this some sort of sinister plan? Danny? Media guy and coach. Remember, Woj has written at least one book on the Hurley family, if not multiple. Was this a favor to get him in the mix with the Lakers, play this up for a few days, and then scare the hell out of UConn so they'd finally put a real offer in front of him? Uh-oh.
The only way that could happen, like we talked about during the break, the only way that could happen is if Dan Hurley reached out to the Lakers and said, hey, I'm interested. Like, outside of that, it would have been the Lakers making first contact, and maybe Hurley just told Woj, like, hey, this is what's happening. They reached out. We're in talks. But I don't know if they sat there together, because if they did, that's kind of an ethical issue by Woj.
You don't think that's ever happened before?
I'm sure it
has. You don't think a media member's ever worked with a coach in conjunction to help the coach?
I'm sure it has, but I don't know of any.
It has, yes.
But what happened to that media member's career after that? Would Rose... Well,
some of these cases were like 30 and 40 years ago when supposedly everything was better in the media, but yeah.
Would Woj
ethics
risk...
be damned.
Yeah.
Would I don't think Woj... I mean, can someone prove it? Is there a paper trail?
Yeah.
Do I think Woj would be part of something like that? Maybe. Do I think there's a possibility that his rival Shams... was kind of stirring this up with McAfee? Or maybe Shams has heard something. Could it happen? Possibly. What you should be worried about is, could it happen to the Lakers? And everyone you ask that to is like, yep. That's a problem.
That's a huge problem.
Right? Good organizations should never fall prey to something like that.
No, especially when you have arguably... the biggest, if not one of the top two, with the Celtics being the other, biggest brand of the league.
You like betting dogs?
Occasionally.
Latest odds, update odds since Dan Hurley spurned the Lakers. Redick is minus 500 to be the Lakers' next head coach. Borrego, who supposedly is real close to getting the Cavs job, 3-1. Sam Cassell, 9-1. Adelman, recognizable name, David Adelman, 18-1. Kenny Atkinson, 18-1. And then I saw a story today that Jay Wright could be a stealth candidate, the former Villanova coach and TV for a couple of years. You want to bet a dog?
I mean, if I did, I'd probably go with Jay Wright.
It's the only value, right? I don't have odds on Jay Wright yet.
Sure, it's pretty long.
With what just happened with Danny Hurley, I'm not betting a favorite at minus 500.
Absolutely not.
I have no idea what's
all
going
we on. Heard was JJ's number one.
We're going to have Lakers tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Up next, though, more odds talk is Sammy P is in.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, Sports Gambling Insider Sammy P joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, time to go down to Florida for Sammy P. What's up, buddy?
I'm on the Disney boardwalk, buddy. I got to be careful what I say around these kids.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm tapped out, though. I'm ready to get back home. It's been nice. It's been a quick little trip down here. But at the same time, I am tired of sitting in 98-degree weather sweating my bets at the parks.
You tweeted the other day. I mean, sweating your bet is one thing. But then when your phone is going to die, that's another.
Well, so I had White Sox Live. I've been doing this new thing. I've invented another new White Sox system. You just bet against them when they take the lead. And if you were to do it at the right times in the last 7 days, you could have made something like 20 units. Wow. Because they had a 5-0 lead against the Cubs, lost. Had a 5-1 lead against the Cubs, lost. And then the latest one, they were a $7 dog, or the Red Sox were a $7 dog on Sunday. Red Sox had a one-run deficit, end up tying that game in the ninth, winning that game.
Wow.
And that's the bet you're talking about. I'm sweating 7-1. It's 98 degrees. I'm waiting in a 50-minute line to see the Seven Dwarves. And the phone is overheating and ready to die. And you're trying to follow the bet.
Nice. Very nice. I love systems in baseball. I've never really nailed one because I feel like it's a game, you know, it's a season of runs. But maybe you're onto something here. I tried to cash in a bunch on the White Sox early, and then I kind of ran into a couple of, you know, a few bad days, and I lost my patience.
The problem with them is if they can win 3 or 4 games in a row, and it's only happened, I think, twice this year when they've won that many games in a row, as sad as that sounds, because they're 30 games under 500.
Right.
Second week of June. That's how bad they are. But you're right. If you run into them at the wrong time and the wrong price, if you're laying 225, 250, 3 days in a row, and they lose, or you lose, you know, that's 7.5, 8 units potentially. So I get it. And the worst part about any system is that the house always catches up, pal. You know that.
Of course. I was looking at a list of 5 least profitable MLB teams with a run line, and you would think Chicago would be in there, but no. And then some of them are, you know, Miami has consistently sucked. So that's probably the team that we needed to jump on early. Cubs now have kind of come back to earth, and I guess they had a lot of bettors on them when they get out to a good start, so they're getting beat up, and the Rangers haven't been very good either. So,
yeah, the problem with that is they start making these prices so crazy, you know, like to bet against the White Sox now, just for example, because I've been studying them all year because they're fascinating for all the wrong reasons. You gotta lay, you know, you gotta lay 170, 180 to lay the run and a half, and then some of these books across this country, they are getting so smart about it, they don't even let you lay 1.5 anymore. Now you gotta lay 2.5. If you want to go against them. So, you know, you say you bet team X -2.5 and they win 5-3, you're 1.5's a winner, you're 2.5 is a loser. So, as I said, it always gets figured out in the wash.
Sam Paniadovich on Cofield and Company. So, anyone who's listened to the show over the years, I mean, literally like 25 years, I go, and so does Adam, he'll go gaga over any storyline around the hot dog eating contest in Chestnut. We did that early. Now it's time to actually talk about the impact of Chestnut if he's out of this Nathan's, because, I mean, you can put it in perspective with some odds. He is one of the most dominant champions in the history of all sports. The event completely changes if he's out.
Definitely. And the first conversation I had today, because you know how sick I am, something in sports changes. And then my first question is, well, what does this do to the odds?
That's right.
And, you know, we've seen Joey Chestnut's over-under as high as 75, 76 and a half last couple of years. And we've seen his price just get astronomically higher. I want to say 15 years ago, he's 3-2 to win the event. And last year, he's minus 5,000. So you're really, when you're betting the hot dog contest, you're betting Joey against the field, and Joey's won a million in a row. But now, in terms of, like, the question that I had today was, what do you make the over-under for the champion? Because if he doesn't compete, and it sounds like he's not going to, because I don't think he's going to shed that sponsorship. It's what, with Impossible Foods or something like that?
Yes.
So if he doesn't shed that, he's not going to compete. And we've seen these numbers in the mid-70s. You know, the first response I got was 59.5. That's not. Like, the winner gets over or under 59.5. And, you know, the one thing about Joey is, even though he's been dominating all these events, he sets the pace, right? He's the fastest horse out of the gate, but he also sets the tempo. So if he's out of the way, you don't need to eat 70 hot dogs or 65 hot dogs to win the event. So I think that 59.5 is a little too high, to be honest.
I agree. I would go under on that. I think that's a good bet. I would put the number closer to 55.5. And you're right. He is the rabbit. He is the pace setter. But it could be interesting this year, because there could be as many as five or six folks who can eat between 48 and 55. So it'll actually be a bettable event. And I'm not saying bettors are going to be able to replace the void that Chestnut leaves from an interest standpoint, but it'll actually be a good contest.
You always see sharp money, too. And people laugh when I say hot dog sharp,
yes,
but they
yes,
do exist.
Yes.
You know, I don't know that they win all the time, because most of the quote-unquote hot dog sharps are betting Chestnut unders, and those have gotten drilled three of the last 5 years. But I think this is the year, and again, we're still about 3 weeks out from this contest, I think this is the year where you're going to see one of those guys in that 12-15-1 range really make it interesting. Now, you have your heavy hitters, and I know you guys have talked about the field all day long, but this might be one of those years where you get a guy a little bit down the board, like on the 5 or 6 line, that can really make this interesting and potentially pull off a big upset.
I agree. One of our favorites, because there's a couple that are both great eaters. Mickey Suda was a friend of the show. She lived in Vegas for a while. She's the women's champion, and she's pretty dominant. Her husband, Nick Weary, has been coming on, and in the odds that I saw earlier today, he's the second choice. I'm trying to see what he did the last time out. God, these guys eat. They eat so often. Oh, okay. They had an eating contest just this was close. They had one in Ohio on June 6th. And Deep Dish Bertoletti. This is real stuff, folks, by the way. Pat Bertoletti, who I think is a Chicago guy, actually did 48.25. And Weary did 48. So Bertoletti's actually not on the odds board that I sent a link on that we're looking at. So I'll tell you the crazy thing about Nick Weary, and this is getting way too hardcore. He did a donut eating contest the day after he did a hot dog eating contest. I'm like, what are you doing? How do you even get the hot dogs out for the donuts?
I still think the most fascinating part of the entire hot dog conversation is that when we were talking about Chestnut the last couple of years, we were talking about 75.5, 76.5 hot dogs. Mm-hmm. If you just do the very simplistic math, this guy was eating 7.5 hot dogs a minute. This is so disgusting, dude.
Danny, what'd you do? They did a ballpark eating, a hot dog eating contest. It was a hot dog and a beer every inning for 9 innings. Could you have gone beyond the 9 hot dogs you ate in 9 innings?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
My hardest part was the beers.
Right? Isn't it the 9 innings, 9 dogs, 9 beers?
Yep.
Correct.
That's what he did. And he did it. He did it.
Nice.
The other contestant, got drunk and vomited up after like 3 hot dogs, if that.
Not even.
He didn't even do 3 hot dogs? Yeah, exactly. Well,
his throw up was accidental. He hiccuped while he was drinking.
That's
and that was it. But I think he finished 4 hot dogs and all 9 beers.
Okay.
I couldn't do 9 beers because, you know me, Steve. When we go out drinking, you'll never see me drink a beer. I guess I'd have to do 9 whiskey cokes or 9 shots of tequila or something. I would rather do those two before the beers, because the beers, I drink 3 beers, I'm ready to die. I can't keep it in my stomach all that long. But maybe 9 Jack and Diets, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings.
That doesn't sound like a good mix. Sammy P is with us. Let's talk alternative over under win totals, because they are out there. Circa has them up. You sent me a list with numbers for the Niners. Is that the team you're interested in, or have you found some other alternate over under win totals in the NFL you like?
No, my favorite one is the Chicago under. What they basically do, long story short, is they give you the actual win total, and in Chicago's case, it's 8.5 over under, over minus 155 on Chicago. But you can knock them up to 9.5. You can either knock it up a win or down a win. And it's a little pricey at this point in time. You might want to wait this out, because I think there's a chance the Bears get even sexier. Maybe they get bet to 9 flat on the total. Under 9.5 wins, Chicago Bears is minus 160 at Circa. And I know that that's a team that's going to get a lot of love this year. I mean, look, they've already been bet from 8.5 minus 110 over to minus 155, minus 160. Everybody's talking about them. We're going to watch training camp. They're on Hard Knocks. You're going to see Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze and all these cats. And they're probably going to get to 9. And that is a very tough division. I would argue top to bottom, that's the best division in football. One odds maker told me AFC North, and I said, yeah, I don't know about the Steelers this year. But if you line up Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings, those teams could all win 8 games. Wouldn't be surprised if any of them did that. And rookie quarterback in a crowded room, if he's going to have these attitude issues we've heard about, and he tells the middle linebacker to go F himself in week 3, you know, that team could combust with a coach that really hasn't done a good job at winning games. So I think under 9.5 on Chicago, alternate total, even though it's a little pricey, I think that's a really good bet on a team that is on its way but hasn't won anything yet.
In all the years of following sports gambling, and I've been out here in Vegas for a long time, like 28 years, so pretty in tune with the stuff, I don't think I've ever seen a story like the Colorado Buff football team under Dion. Experts have told everyone repeatedly, and that includes the sports books, this team in the new Big 12 is slated as the 11th team by the odds. Phil Steele came out, and he had them 13th in the odds. Yet Colorado is getting national title bets. What?
This Dion thing is real. People either love him or hate him. And, yeah, in my world, I was labeled a racist many times last year because I bet against Colorado in a football game. That's where we were last year. So that's something you always have to deal with and be careful with. Clearly insane comment to make to somebody trying to tell you what to do with your money on a football game. But I saw, yeah, the list is very very normal, you know, the first three teams, and then you get to Colorado, who's not going to win the national championship. But, yeah, the fourth most bets, I think it was BetMGM, to win the whole thing. Number four, man, there's over 150 teams. Colorado is not anywhere near the fourth best team in the country. But people want to bet Dion, and they see that payout, right? They put in that $20 bet to win X, and that's the most enticing part. People want to bet a little to win a lot, not a lot to win a little.
Sam, we appreciate it, man. I would say have fun at Disney, but it sounds like you're done with it. You're tired of it. So,
get me out of here, bro. I can't wait to fly out tomorrow.
We'll talk to you soon, okay?
See ya.
There he is, Sam Paniatovich from Fox Sports. Yeah, we have bets on this show rolling. Well, last year I got Damon, who's now over at VSiN and with DraftKings. I got Damon on the super hype at the beginning of the year when they came out and pulled off the upset against TCU. And the over-under, I think, before the season was 3.5 or 4?
I got it at 3.5.
Okay, so 3.5. They won a couple of games. He reset the over-under at 7. And I was like, okay, I'll take the under.
Just for last year?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Then when he lost that one, he decided to double down. And now we have a 2-year bet running here, which has a lot of variables to it. We'll follow up on this in the 5 o'clock hour. But I have Arizona football total wins next two seasons against Colorado total wins next two seasons.